الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. وقال تبارك وتعالى: ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before our actual talk, just a reminder for us. Allah give us all tawfiq to make amal. We are really drowning in the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala all the time. As we are sitting here, innumerable ni'mats of Allah, the oxygen we are breathing in, carbon dioxide we are taking out, and where it's going, how Allah let it just go without causing us any harm. We are sitting comfortably, peacefully here. We all have got itminan at home also everything is all right. We are drowning in the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Whenever we are enjoying any ni'mat of Allah, then let us just think of four things. Like, for example, commonly food. When we eat, food is brought in front of us, we just take it for granted. And Allah make us all maaf. Most of the time we even forget to say Bismillah. Even just that simple thing, we all take it for granted. I say Bismillah. But if we really check on ourselves, we'll find we are not even reading Bismillah. So anyway, when the food comes, just think that this is from Allah Ta'ala. Only Allah. And all our food, every drop of water, every grain of rice, whatever we are eating, it is musawwamatan. It was meant for us. Wherever it grew, overseas some country, wherever that fish, in which waters it was, whoever, but Allah meant it for me. And it has come now, Allah sent it for me. Allah made all that arrangements which no governments can make, no other infrastructure, nothing. Allah has sent it for me. So make shukr. When we peel that banana which we are going to be eating, think of that, how Allah preserved it, covered it up nicely for me. And then what things there are in banana, so many beneficial. Every ni'mat of Allah, what things Allah has kept in there. So we thank Allah Ta'ala, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Secondly, make shukr for all those who were the means for it coming to reaching me. For example, immediately, normally the food, our wives prepare it, make dua for them. Think, when did we ever praise them, thank them, make dua for them? Yes, finding fault, that we do a lot. Salt is not right, food is burnt, the meat is not done, it's too much marcha. Fault we're finding, we do a lot. But in a woman, normally they eat very little also. What fills them is when you tell them Jazakum Allah. Especially when they prepare so much, when we invited visitors. Eh? We just tell we are 10 people coming to eat, 5 people coming to eat. They're from days before the mind starts working. I have to prepare this, I have to see to this, I have to see to that. When they present everything, then we hardly perhaps go and tell them, Jazakallah. We will go and tell them, fight with them. This was not right, that was not right. But just if we tell them, very much appreciated. And as the host also, we should also express our shukr. Shukr is only for Allah. But whoever Allah has made the meal, that tell the family, Jazakallah. That's what makes them happy and fills them up. That these people appreciate it. But we don't appreciate really. So whoever was the means, right through all along, make dua for them. Third, there are billions of people who haven't got that one plate of food. And we got what variety on our dastarkhan. What ni'mats we have got. So, if we should go and sacrifice that for all those people who haven't got. But at least make dua for them. That Ya Allah, whoever has got whatever need. People haven't got food. People haven't got clothes. We enter our house. Allah gave me my house. People haven't got a little shelter. I've got such a comfortable house. I sit in my car. What a comfortable car Allah has given me. Other people, they can't dream of owning a bicycle also. Whole life, they can't even afford a bicycle. So what ni'mat. So make dua for all the people who are in need. And third, fourth, very important also, that make dua to Allah, you gave me this ni'mat here. Ya Allah, give me in the akhirat also. Otherwise, there will be many people for whom it will be told, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. That your ni'mats you got in the dunya, you enjoy them, whatever good you did, I paid you already. Now there is no nothing for you. Now there will be only a humiliating, disgraceful punishment for you. Allah mustn't make us amongst those people. And that in that same context, that Ya Allah, you are feeding us, but be happy in giving us. Allah feeds giving happy or happily also, and Allah feeds giving unhappily also. Be very easy to understand. We got a parrot in the house which is in a cage. We give that parrot the best of food, everything. We like how it sings and everything, how the parrot is. So we give it happily. And we've got another cage for a mouse also. The mouse is troubling, eating, biting on this, biting on that, eating, causing trouble, making a mess, etc. So we put very nice ghee roti, hot ghee roti. Or we buy fresh cheese and we put it in the cage to let the mouse come into that cage. So we're giving that rat and mouse, but unhappily. We're giving it the best ni'mats, but unhappily. Allah mustn't make us amongst those people that we are enjoying the best ni'mats in this world, but Allah is giving it to us unhappily. And that Allah takes us to task later in our life here, Allah save us. Or in the akhirat, at the time of maut, that is even worse. So Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq that we appreciate every ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, make shukr to Allah. Enjoy it, Allah gave the ni'mat. And then, whoever was the means of it, make dua for those people also. And then, for all those people who haven't even got the basics, at least make dua for those people. And then make dua that Allah gives us in the akhirat also, not only Rabbana atina fi dunya wa ma lahu fil akhirati min khalaq, but no share in the akhirat. Make us amongst those people, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. And Allah save us from the punishment of the fire of Jahannam as well. May Allah give us all tawfiq inshallah. The ayats of the Quran Sharif I recited, one is Allah is expressing His great favors upon us. That Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, I've completed your deen. Deen is not your religion, your way of life. Our religion is not our culture, our whole way of life. That from the time a child is born, adhan is given, iqama, tahneek is made, all those things, and then the child when it starts speaking, teach it to say Allah. And it teaches a child to read when it can read, La ilaha illallah. And make our children read 7 times, La ilaha illallah, when they can read. When the mother washes the face of the child, read it with Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wallah, this has got a great, great effect on this child. The father, especially, mashallah, if you're an alim, hafiz, read Quran Sharif by the child. This will have a great, great effect on the child. Very long ago, we went to Durban, and a little boy of about 8 years old, he sat on the minbar and recited Quran Sharif. And the whole masjid was filled like with ulama, with huffaz. But he read with so much of confidence, and so perfectly and well he read. An 8 year old boy, finished hafiz, very good hafiz. So then I met his father, asked his father, what do you think that this great Namath 8 year old boy and knowing Quran Sharif so well, what was the cause of it? So he thought a little while, then he told me when his mother, that means his wife, the child's mother, when she was expecting this boy, she used to read 15 suparas every day by the boy. He read every day 15 paras. The effect was when he was born, mashallah, he became such a hafiz. So like that, let us try and bring these things into our children. So that whole way of life of deen. Maulana Fuad Samai is of Cape Town, he's living, sir. Mashallah, he says that his paternal grandfather, Nana, in the 1930s, 1940s, his aunties used to go to Muslim school in the Cape. And it was a Muslim school. But when they should come from school, his Nana, their father, should make them read every day one juz, one supara, to take away all the evil effects of the school. So it was that time, about 80, 90 years ago. And it was a proper Muslim school. But still, the effects of that also, he should let them read. His paternal grandfather, Dada, he allowed his children, the Maulana's uncles, only to go to school till standard 6, now grade 8. And after that, the one, he made him become a tailor. And the other one, he made him become a street sweeper. Now we will think of destroying the whole life of this street sweeper. He's going to be a street sweeper. What's he going to do in life? Unfortunately, we've got this whole thing upside down in our mind. Today, isn't it our aqeedah that Allah is Razzaq? Allah gives rozi. Allah alone is the giver of rozi. Anyway, he became a street sweeper. And his father told him, what rich people won't get, Allah will give you. Consequently, a street sweeper, he left till the age about 92 or something. 62, 64 years, not one of his namaz was missed with Jamaat. When he went for Hajj, he told his wife, the boy's grandmother, that what I'm going to do now, in Hajj now, and by ship they were going. My namaz is with Jamaat, he went and made gushed every cabin. And they arranged on the deck, they will have namaz. Going, coming, they had all the namazes with Jamaat also. So that concern he had. And then he went for 9 times for Hajj. As a street sweeper, Allah took him 9 times for Hajj. And he says the number of times he went for Umrah, that we don't know also. And today we might, with all our money, we might be going Disneyland. We might be going Hollywood. We might be going to see animals. That is a great achievement to go see animals. Insan who is ashraful makhluqat. Who is وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمٍ. Even the animals get surprised. Are we now so important that this, the best creation of Allah is coming to see us? What they want du'as for us, from us, or what they want that we must make tawajjuh on them, or what? Maulana Muhammad Jina says, Kimberly, when people come and see the big hole, he says, I get so angry that spending so much money to see one hole. A big hole, just to go and see a hole. What is that? Where? What Allah put us for in this world, and what are we doing in this world? And it's an achievement. If I went to a cricket tournament or World Cup somewhere, it's a big achievement. Whereas the Sahaba, the praises and the honor of theirs, they took part in the Battle of Badr. They were present in Bay'at Ridwan. In our time, that people saw this in the dreams, that we were present in that ijtima. They went to that jalsa of a madrasa. They went, met that buzur. They went to that khanka. Those are the things that we have to cherish for. Those are the things that are going to help us in this dunya also, akhirat also. But today, this dunya's things, that is a great achievement, all these things. So anyway, so Allah give us tawfiq that we appreciate all these ni'mat. And also he says his paternal, his uncles, when they, the street sweeper, he was a street sweeper. Every day after job, he should go to walk 5 kilometers to Sheikh, to one of the sheikhs, I can't just not recalling the name, to go and learn deen every day. That is a great achievement. Not when we come home, now we're busy with the cell phone all the time, and now we're going on this site, and we're going on that site, and these are great things, and I know how, or this, the way I know my computers, and I'm an IT specialist, those things nobody's going to ask in the qabr about that. We won't be asked about that on the day of Qiyamah. For necessities of dunya, within the limits, no problem. But all this that we are going overboard in all these things, Allah protect us. So this deen Allah has given us. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. I have completed your way of life. We have got a complete way of life. We don't have to look at other people for anything. Allah, who is the creator, who is our creator, Allah, who is the maker of the eyes, and the use of the eyes, Allah give us tawfiq, we use it correctly. Maulana As'ad Madani Rahmatullah Ali once told that, for example, a person puts surma in his eyes regularly at night, he won't even need glasses. I'm also sitting with glasses. Allah give us to practice our deen, and with the correct jazba, our deen is a complete way of life. And one of the worst things where we destroy our eyes is looking at haram. And we know how guilty we are. Whether it is physically on the streets, whether it is in the shopping malls, where a person gives dalil that women can be allowed to come to masjid because when we go to the beach, we look at women there. What a dalil, mashallah. What comparison? So we using our eyes for haram. That's why our eyes are gone so weak, and their minds are gone so weak. A person, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, complained to his ustad of his weak memory. Shakawtu ila waki'in su'a hifzi. That my weak memory, he told me, that give up gunas. Gunas are our worst enemies. If we can understand this basic point, our worst enemy is not any country, it's not any nation. Our worst enemy, our own gunas. Those gunas that I do without anyone knowing about it. Those gunas that I do publicly. Those gunas that I do and I get others involved in gunas also. That is even worse. A person, one, he commits his own gunas, and once he gets other people also to get. So all these things, otherwise deen, Allah has given us a perfect way of life. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Your way of life, I have perfected it for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I have completed my favor. Ni'mati, my favor. That favor is of deen. Not that we think today a beautiful garden I got, or my this university degrees, we take pride in those things, or we take pride in all our businesses. No, that ni'mat which Allah has given, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Very fortunate will be that person that it comes from his own self, that Ya Allah, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِسَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alaihi wasallam rasulan wa nabiyya. A person who reads this mornings and evenings Allah's rasul will hold him by the hand and take him into jannat. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Maulana Saeed Khan sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to say the virtues are there, great virtues, but at the same time on the other side of the coin the responsibilities are also very great. For Islam, that we are Muslims, now you will be tested according to that. That you say that you are happy with Allah as your Rabb, when Allah will bring conditions upon us. In this, people get divided in 4 different groups. There are those people that as long as Allah's ni'mats come, they come masjid, everything. Some problem comes in their life, then they just forget about the masjid also. They go away. They become disillusioned. They become depressed, despondent. There are those people, when a problem comes in their life, they turn to Allah Ta'ala. They make tawbah, istighfar, they come to Allah, tahajjud, everything. When Allah eases their problem, and now Allah makes things easy for them, they forget Allah Ta'ala. Now their tahajjud is also gone. And now all their coming to the masjid is also gone. There are those people that when good conditions come, they don't remember Allah. They're just living it up. Bad conditions come, they become worse. They go even further away from Allah Ta'ala. Both ways they are losing out. And then sad in our times, now we are going to top counselors and top psychologists and all that. They're taking us further from Allah. The solution, the highest rate of suicide in the world are psychiatrists. They can't solve their own problem. Where are they going to solve our problem? They themselves, the highest rate of suicides are by the psychiatrists. And we go to those people. Then you get that group that when Allah's ni'mats come, they remember Allah. Difficulties come, they turn to Allah. In all conditions, they turn to Allah Ta'ala. Allah make us of those people. And Allah save us from any hardships. We are very, very weak. Never ask. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he met the army to fight against the army in jihad, he told very clearly to that, never have the desire to be to combat the army. Ask Allah for afiyat, for well-being. Things must go smooth in our life. Things must go easy. We are very, very weak. If tests and trials come, even if they come in good conditions, then also in the test from Allah, we become very big-headed. And I feel this is all mine. I achieved this. I did all this. And if difficult conditions come, even worse we become. And we forget Allah. We speak so terrible words about Allah when difficult conditions come upon us. Allah forgive us, protect our iman. So this ni'mat of iman is a very, very great thing. And to respect and honor this iman. And the markaz of this iman is the masjid. This is where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the first thing he did in Makkah Sharif, always at the Kaaba, making dua to Allah, etc. When he went to Madinatul Munawwara, the first Masjid Quba he built, then Masjid Nabawi. That was the first concern of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that this deen is connected with the Masjid. Allah make us, we also get connected with the Masjid. The Masjid is the place of Allah's rahmat coming down. Yeah, when we enter the door, most probably I didn't notice, but I'm sure the dua is written here also. But the dua is not to beautify the door or for the wall. It is for us to read it. So the dua, Allahumma ftahli abwab rahmatik, not bab rahmatik. Bab, oh Allah, open your door of rahmat. No, abwab rahmat. And yeah, there are three doors to the masjid. If all three doors are open, about 1.5 meters or so, but Allah's doors of rahmat, we cannot imagine. It comes in the hadith sharif, when you see somebody going regularly for namaz, then you give evidence for the iman of that person. To say that somebody is a mu'min and to give evidence of it. That means under oath you swear. It's not a small thing. And you can't see the iman of a person. I can't see anyone's iman in their heart. You can't see my iman. What is it really? We don't know what is really in the heart. But who you see always going to the masjid, we are told you give evidence that that person has got iman. And how we got it? That a person who goes regularly for namaz 35 times a day is going to be a super spreader of the disease. Allah says give evidence for his iman. And we say that he's more vulnerable. And he is a person more who will spread the disease. Allahu Akbar. How upside down haven't we got it? And all this is because we are just exposed to the dunya's things. To all what the people of dunya are telling us, that the virus is here. A drowning person holds onto a straw also. That it will, but where can a straw save you? So the way they have brought this pandemic and the panic they have put into us. Atibba, great doctors of the past, they used to say half of a person's illness, sickness, is fear. Today, any person, you go for any checkup also, that fear you get now, that this they're going to pick up that, etc. That fear is half of your sickness. It makes you now, your immune system goes down. Mentally you go down. Physically you go down. Now you are vulnerable, fear. So this is the first thing the enemies have done. Shaitan and all his agents have done, put fear in the hearts of the people. The whole world, I mustn't get COVID. I mustn't get corona. Hey, it's very dangerous. So that fear, then once that fear is there, then you just want to hold on whatever they offer you. Whether it's the most stupid things, whether it's the thing which is going to make you more sick, you're going to make, but we will take on to that. And the Fitbah say, half of the cure of a person, when he is ill, the worst type of ill, most serious illnesses, the half of the cure is trust on Allah, tawakkul on Allah. Which even in all communities, our people, normally Gujarati people, we go and visit a sick person, Allah haru kare. Allah bachave. Allah haru kare. That's a very big sentence. It's not just that small. They're putting that person, connect him to Allah. That Allah is there. And the minute Allah make that, even if 10% of that yaqeen comes in our heart, then my Allah will look after me. My Allah is there for me. You will fight that disease. That's half of your cure. The other half you take whatever you want to. But it's already half of your cure. And today we got it completely opposite. We only exposed to the things of the dunya. The people, and not of dunya, the secular. And what is secular? Everything which is minus Allah Ta'ala. A secular government is that government where Allah doesn't feature in that government. Very many years ago, in Turkey, in one of the smaller little towns, one small little town, they had built a dam for the irrigation conservation of water, whatever it was. On the opening of it, the mayor, he only said still so much, by the fizzle of, he didn't still take the name of Allah. They fired him there and then. He apologized. They didn't accept it. Allah didn't do it. We did it. Where now you come and say that by the fizzle of Allah? So that is secularism, that Allah does nothing. We are the doers of everything. And today that is what is secular education also. In secular education, Allah doesn't come in that equation anywhere. Deen doesn't come in that equation. We are the controllers of everything. And we, everything is in our hands. So all those things here, we are just exposed to all that. Little children, from the time they are 6 months old, 3 months, the mother puts on TV for them with cartoons. They are exposed to that. Little bigger, they play in games. Every game has got Satanism in it. Behind it, they are exposed to that. All the time we are exposed. What is necessary for us to expose ourselves to ulama, to Quran, Hadith, that Allah is our creator. Allah is in control of everything. No matter he can be a hardcore atheist, he has to admit that his eyes are not in his control. The movement of my hand is not in my control. My eyelids opening and closing of my eyelids is not in my control. It is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. One very good cardiologist, Muslim cardiologist, in some area around us, he has passed away, Allah give him Jannah. He was very pious too. Whatever operation he used to do, heart operations, bypass, etc., read 2 rakats of Nafil Namaz, give Sadaqah, and then taking the name of Allah, he should operate. One patient came, and as he bent to do the operation, he died of a heart attack. Who done so many heart operations, but his own heart is not in his control. In one international meeting of all the cardiologists of the world, they chose the one cardiologist who was the most top in the whole world as the chairman of that meeting. In that meeting, he died of a heart attack. So what is in our hands? It is all in the hands of Allah. And today, the way we carry on everything, everything is in our hands. No, nothing is in our hands. This iman, yaqeen, there is absolutely essential to understand the whole system of the world. We have been brainwashed. Our mindset has changed that the things of this world, 2 + 2 = 4, etc. All these things that we are blessed with, all these things of this dunya only, material things only. I don't say 2 + 2 = 4, but just this dunya things all the time we are involved in. And realities of deen, tawakkul, And taqdeer, to believe in taqdeer. If corona is written for me, the world together can get together to save me. I can't get saved. And if it's not written for me, the world together can try and let it come to me. It can't. Our yaqeen, our iman is on these things. That is, so we have to look at it in that way. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand our deen, our life, and the realities of life in the correct way. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. Those people who will honor the signpost of Allah, the flag post of Allah, the shi'ar of Allah, the great things of Allah. Amongst them is the masjid also. Those people who will honor the masjid. That is, we come regularly to the masjid. We honor the masjid. We sit as guests by Allah Ta'ala. We come to the masjid. Now also, Allah give us all tawfiq. Make niyat of i'tikaf. If we haven't still made, make niyat of i'tikaf. Make niyat, I'm sitting in the house of Allah. Ulama, buzurgani deen have written, when we go to the house of Allah, anyone's house we visit, is not the purpose, is not the house, but the owner of the house. So when we come to the masjid, we have come to the owner, that is to Allah Ta'ala. Allah is everywhere, but Allah's special tajalliyat, Allah's special closeness is in the masjid. And Allah make it we work like that. Whenever we walk in the masjid, we feel the presence of Allah more in the masjid. Allah is everywhere, but Allah's special favors are here. Malaika abound in the masjid. There are plenty in the masjid. In the masjid, pious people come. MashaAllah, every masjid has got those people where, like old people, they also come to the masjid. They are making Allah's ibadat. And now what we want to say, over 60s must stay at home. This is the time you have to come to the masjid now. And you make the ibadat of Allah. And by them sitting and making ibadat, Allah's rahmat is pouring down. And whoever enters the masjid, he's showered with that rahmat now. Allah makes it widespread. So let us not get things upside down. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, says, when people will take poison to be medicine, poison which will kill you, and you take that as my medicine, how are you going to survive then? And we take medicine which will cure you, we take that to be our poison, that I'll keep away from the medicine. I don't take medicine. And so how will the person survive? For Hazrat says, فَالْمُشْتَكَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. When a condition like that comes, then our complaint is only to Allah. Allah, now you handle the matter. Today we have taken that the virus is only in the masjid. There is no virus in the masjid. When Allah sends a pandemic like this, then it asks Allah, where must I go? Allah, the answer, look at the answer of Allah also. Allah says, you don't go to the masajid and to those people who come to the masajid. When a person leaves home to go to the masjid, he's in the protection of Allah. When adhan is called, adhan is a great shi'ar also, very great shi'ar of Allah. Today people are making court cases against Muslims because of the adhan. Mustn't be so loud, etc., all that. We are the cause of it. That our sins, that we did not respect the adhan. We don't reply to the adhan. And we don't respond to the adhan. Adhan takes place, but we just carry on like nothing happened. Hey? Though the masala is, if we are engaged in dini matters, a bayan is carrying on, ustad is teaching sabak, some mashura, you can carry on. But then too, it is better that you stop with your discussion and you respect the adhan. The adhan, Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Sahib, Damat Barakatum, explained that one lady, Muslim lady in Bombay, but unfortunately her life was very wrong, doing all the worst type of things, selling her body also, worst type of gunas she was committing. But when her maut came, then she started speaking Arabic. So the house people got also surprised, what's this happening now, she's speaking and we don't understand. They called the imam from the masjid, the imam came and he said, she's speaking Fasir. Good, perfect, eloquent Arabic she's speaking. What was she saying? Hadane rajulane yakulane li udkhulil jannah. These two men are telling me entering to Jannah. So he asked, what kind of a woman was she? They say, you also know, we all know. Everyone in the muhalla, in the neighborhood, we all knew what kind of a woman, but they said, now we come to realize one habit she had. Whenever Adhan would go, she would say, shh, 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 keep quiet. So just that respect of Adhan, today that is gone out of us. We are in the masjid, we will be talking. We'll be talking, laughing loudly. All dunya's things, not even dini matters. No respect of Adhan. When Adhan takes place, the whole system of the universe changes. Shaitan runs from that place. And he runs in such a way that he lets out wind also. And we all know and witness this. We hear the dogs howling and barking when the Adhan takes place. Because they can see, Allah makes them see. So when Adhan goes, masjid gets sanitized. There is nothing of all this virus and that. That's all from shaitan. It's sanitized. Masjid becomes clean and pure. Then when you come in the masjid, you have come in this pure masjid. Eh? And today we want to sanitize. No, we don't sanitize the masjid. We satanize the masjid with 70% alcohol. And we want to clean the masjid. An alcoholic also knows, who is unfortunate alcoholic, he also knows the alcohol is filth, it's dirty. But today learned people will say, no, it will sanitize the place. It will cleanse the place. We got everything upside down. The masjids are pure of these things. Wherever children are reading Quran Sharif, learning Quran Sharif, and Allah wants to send any adab to that place, when he hears the reading of the Quran of the children, he removes it from there. So this is the place where Allah's rahmat comes down. When a person enters his home, he reads the dua, he makes salam. Then Allah, and the wife replies also nicely, cheerfully. Allah looks at rahmat with that place. Rahmat comes into that house. And that the protection is granted. When we close our doors, we read Bismillah. Allah grants protection. So the masajid are the places. One time, one sahabi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was making dua. And he read in his dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta al-ahadu as-samadu alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told with the sahaba with him, tell him that all his duas what he will make now will be accepted. So that is where the masjid is. The wind should blow a little stronger. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam should go to the masjid, make dua to Allah ta'ala. And the sahaba, whatever need they had, ups and downs in our houses come, it takes place with all our houses. The minute they hear that, they should go to the masjid, not to some counselor, not to anyone, to the greatest of counselors, Allah Ta'ala, and connect with Allah. Allah, you solve this problem for me. No food in the house, gone to the masjid, making dua, salatul haja, up and down to the house, that has food come, until the food came, Allah send the food. And how also miraculously Allah Ta'ala sends food. And Allah give us tawfiq that we do, and give us this deen which Allah has given us. Imam Taus, rahmatullah alayhi, narrates one incident that there were four brothers. Their father became ill, old now. Allah save us from all these illnesses also. Allah make it easy for us, especially old age, whole life. Allah make it easy for us. So the one son told his other three brothers that, I make a deal with you. You people serve our father, look after him, he's old now, he's sickly, he needs attention, and I will take the whole inheritance. Otherwise, I will serve him, and I will take nothing of the inheritance. I will leave it all for you people. They were very happy, they said, very good. And he served his father in such a way that was exemplary. Very wonderful he served his father. And according to his agreement, that he took nothing from the inheritance of his father. The three brothers shed it all out. Then after that he saw a dream at night that at one place there are 100 dinars, gold coins, Kruger rands in our time. They are buried in a certain place, go and take them, they are for you. So he asked in the dream, is there barakat in there? He said, no barakat in there. Then he told his wife the dream in the morning, woman's nature, she insisted he must go and take it. He said, no, I won't take it. The next night he dreamt that in a certain place, 10 dinars, 10 gold coins are buried. He asked, is there barakat in there? He said, no, there is no barakat in there. He told his wife, again she insisted, you let go 100, now go for 10 at least. He didn't go. Next night he dreamt again, there is one place, 1 dinar. The barakat in there? Yes, there is barakat in there. So he went, he took it. On his way home, he bought fish for the house. 2 fish. When he brought the fish, they came home to eat it now, clean it, cut it up. They found 2 pearls, 1 in each fish. And nobody else could pay for it but the king. And how much he paid for it? 90 camel loads of gold. Not 100 gold coins, 90 camel loads of gold. Allah give us tawfiq. That when we are in partnership with anyone, when we dissolve the partnership, let go your rights also. Hey, this is what deen teaches, but what we are taught in the secular world, you must fight for your rights. And even what is not your right, you must fight for it. You must demand that right also. So, at the time of partnership, dissolving, at the time of inheritance, and this is also a thing which many of us are very weak in. At the inheritance, after I mentioned it a few times, some friends came, they say, my great-grandfather's inheritance is still not sorted out. And then those people are in quarantine in the qabr until the inheritance is not sorted out. Yeah, people 14 days quarantine, they're committing suicide. They can't take it. And in the qabr, what is this quarantine compared to that quarantine? So our inheritance, Allah give us tawfiq. There are those people, pious like that. Generations have passed, but inheritance is not sorted out. Or we do it wrongly, deprive the woman folk, the mother, the sisters. We just hamjawa them. We're giving you so much, they think we're getting a lot. But they actually worth much more. Allah give us tawfiq that we do our things correct. So anyway, the adhan is a great thing. And the adhan, shaitan runs away. One time Mufti Mahmood Sahib, Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali, was having a debate with some person of other ideologies. The time of Adhan came, so he said, Assalamu alaikum, I'm going now. So Mufti Sahib asked him, who goes away from the Masjid Adhan time? Shaitan runs away at that time. So that is, Allah make it that we are those people that we come to the masjid. When we hear adhan, Allahu Akbar. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayh, his neighbor was a blacksmith, working with his iron, etc. This is also so much of benefit for us to understand. When Abdullah ibn Mubarak passed away, then somebody saw him in a dream and asked him, how did it fare? He said, Allah gave me so much namaz. What great, great namaz Allah has given me. But he says that my neighbor, Allah has given him even more than what I got. They said, how come? He was a great muhaddith, great mujahid, a great faqih, a great alim, a great abid. So when they asked their neighbor's wife, that your husband, a blacksmith, ordinary person, and he got this darja more than Abdullah ibn Mubarak, how? He says, my husband always used to say, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, great buzurg, people make his khidmat, give him presents, tuhfa, tahayf, hadiya. He didn't have to earn his living. He was free to teach deen, to make khidmat of deen, and Allah put in that position, especially the ulama, Allah make us, that we serve the deen as it's supposed to be. Allah forgive us all our shortcomings. So he says that he's free, I have to work hard for my rosy. Had I also been free like that, I should also do Allah's ibadat as he does Allah's ibadat. So just on that niyat, Allah give us tawfiq of niyat. Niyat is a very great ibadat. Many, many muhaddithin, ulama have started the kitabs with the kitab of intention. And ikhlas also comes in there. But intention, niyat is a very great thing. And according to that, Allah Ta'ala gives a person position. So anyway, he whenever used to pick up his hammer, heavy hammer, to hit on that steel, iron hammer, but the Allahu Akbar comes, then he wouldn't even take work from that. He'll just put it one side, straight to the masjid now. Allah give us that jazba. That when adhan goes, we're going to the masjid. And that is now, Allah has called us now. A great change has come in the whole universe and everything. Also, which will benefit us, inshallah, in 1902, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hayy Farangi Mahalli, a very great alim also.
He was in the time of Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, but he was much senior elder. When he passed away, a very great janazah, big, lot of people. But there was a tailor whose janazah was even bigger than his. And the tailor was such a person that whenever there was any janazah, he should go and attend. His friends should tell him, you don't have to go for every janazah. It's not farz-e-ayn, farz-e-kifaya. There are enough people going. Why? He say, inshallah, Allah will give me also a big janazah. You a tailor, who's going to come to your janazah, so many people. But the day Maulana Abdul Hai Farangi Mahalli passed away, rahmatullah alayh, the same day he also passed away. Now Maulana's janazah, a lot of people came, lot of people. And lot got delayed, they couldn't make it for the janazah. After the janazah announcement was made, one faqir's janazah is also ready, a poor person's janazah, read his janazah also. Why not? How long does it take to make janazah? All. So the amount of people who came in Maulana's janazah, more attended. And his family people who came also. So even more. So Allah give us the right intention also. Allah Ta'ala give us the jazbah of our deen to respect and honor the masajid. And Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala, let us appreciate this great deen. And let us understand that we have to come to the masjid. The masjid is the solution of the problem. The masjid is not the place of the problem. We've got it completely wrong. Even our women folk are phoning one another, phoning other people, don't go to the masjid. You can go to work, is no problem. You can go anywhere else, but don't go masjid. No, the masjid, and also remember, we all are commanded what amar bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. To command the right and forbid the wrong is our duty. But me, I'm the most guilty. Allah, forgive me, forgive us all. We're having a nikah here in the masjid. Somebody comes with a three-piece suit, so with a tie, everything, trousers below the ankles, no topi, big hair, whatever it might be. And not even the dua comes out from me that, Ya Allah, give him hidayat. He's coming into your house and he must be dressed accordingly. We feel nothing about it. Somebody is coming with a bermuda, with a t-shirt, hair funny dyed and cut also funny. Funny shape also. But no, we have to stop people like that from the masjid. That how can you come to the house, go and dress properly and then you come to the masjid. But no, we don't do that. The punishment Allah gave us, now today Allah made it more than what the government and authorities want. We are emphasizing on things which are against the sunnah, which are opposite of the sunnah. Now we are, for Allah's system works like that. When He gave us His ni'mat and we didn't appreciate the ni'mat, then Allah makes us do the opposite. We all know Colonel Amiruddin, many of us, maybe the small boys still don't know, but Colonel Amiruddin, great work of tabligh. Just one little point of his, when he came the first time to South Africa, he came by ship. Long tabligh work wasn't still so much established. Purpose of entry, why you're coming to the country, he wrote there to conquer your country. So they put him back on the ship and they sent him away. He was a man with that jazbah. So anyway, he was in Egypt, Cairo, and he made namaz there. And all the Egyptians, Allah gave them what Quran and how beautifully they read Quran Sharif. So the Imam read and the reading, mashallah. But besides that, this Imam had a full sunnah beard, which is rare, which you don't find there. So after the namaz, Colonel Sahib went to his office, which is with the masjid. The Imam has an office. Anyone wants to meet, discuss with him, he meets them there. So he said, I want to meet the Imam. So he said, I'm the Imam. He said, no, the Imam who made this namaz now. He said, I'm that Imam. So he said that the Imam with that full beard, and this he had no beard. And it's not something to laugh, but something to cry about. He showed him the wig hanging on the wall. And when we make a mockery of sunnah like that, then Allah's system works. Now the government will make a law that civil servants, etc., are not allowed to keep beards. Many places in our country, there are those people that their people tell them, there's Gulen people, etc., that they are ordered not to keep beards. This is a punishment from Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala. So this is what happens when we don't observe and appreciate the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Allah takes it away and Allah makes us do the opposite and command the opposite. Allah save us. So Allah has given us an opportunity. Let us all come back to the masjid, come back to deen, come back to namaz, turn to Allah Ta'ala with sincerity. Allah, it's not still the end of the world. It's a time still we have got time to make tawbah and istighfar. And Allah is most merciful, most kind. Never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. We just turn to Allah. We go walking to Allah, so to say, Allah comes running to us. We give an arm's length, Allah comes 2 arms length to us. Allah's doors of mercy, tawbah a person makes, Allah open. Let us now not, this little bit relaxation has come in the all the regulations. Let us not be that we go back to all the old things and we go to do wrong things. Let us come back to the masajid. Let us come back to deen and let us follow the deen as the deen is supposed to be followed. May Allah give us all tawfiq inshaAllah.